Talk, JD Bunkus, Sam McKee. Leafs win in overtime. Very unfamiliar type of game for Toronto, where the goaltender stinks.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable hockey game. That was,
yeah, it was fun.
As much as you want from a hockey game. Like, I can't, you know, at the end of that third period there, they had the great back and forth chanting between the Leaf fans and the Pens fans.
I adored that.
And as far as a road victory goes for your favorite club, that's pretty much as fun as it gets, where there's ups, there's extreme downs, you have a comeback, you blow a lead, you go into overtime, and you get one of your premier players shooting it in the net in overtime. You know, you get to go out of there. It's 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm sure there's some good bars in Pittsburgh. Be a really, really great time to be a fan on the road there. I loved how engaged that crowd was. And credit to the Pens fans who've had to watch that putrid unit all year. They actually got up somehow. I guess the Leaf fans brought the best out of them, but it was awesome. Go Leafs, go. Go Pens, go. That was a good crowd environment for an afternoon game that was weird at times.
I love that. Dude, yeah. Okay, so one of the things that gets that fired up, I will always believe this, and part of this is my confirmation bias of seeing a bunch of kids on their feet in that shot when I was looking at the crowd, but the NHL should ban the 6 o'clock Sunday game and only do 1 o'clockers outside of the NFL window. Like, just grow the game. Let more kids go. I think it's more encouraging too, if you're a fan, like you and I obviously would have been hitting the bar after that game, but yeah, I think that there's a lot of people who made that drive and they're looking at it going, hey, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. We can be back in Toronto by 8:30, go home, get back to work the next day, have yourself a day, bring the kids on a trip. I love it. I think it's awesome.
Not like JD Bunkus host by the Raj tomorrow and no Sam McKee on
if
we were there.
Yeah. Buddy, you had one trip to go see a Leafs game. You had to take like four hangover days.
I took the Monday off, worked the Tuesday, Wednesday, had to take Thursday, was back Friday. Just one.
Ran out of steam. I got to tell you too, just quick aside, I love the Pens road game too, with the kids, because it reminds me of my dad took my brother to a Penguins road game. And I've told you this story before. Thomas Cabrillet scored an overtime winner in this game, but my dad, this was back in the day where he just walked up. My dad was a big guy, 6'4". He walked up to the Leafs team bus, told my brother to come with him. My brother still regrets it to this day. And my dad got stopped by security and just put his head down and went past him. They're like, excuse me, sir, who are you? He's like, I'm Matt Sundin's cousin. And he went on the team bus and just walked around and shook Sundin's hand. And then the boys kicked him off the bus immediately.
Oh, my God.
And they realized who he wasn't. But again, this is just a different time where didn't even really get in trouble. They just kicked him off. People had a laugh and then he left. That was it. So, yeah. Penguins has a special spot for the road game for that one for me. Okay, let's get into it. You want to start with the good, the bad, or the ugly?
Let's start with what would you call the good today? Let's see what you classify as the good today.
I have two things that I think were good. One, the first 10 minutes of the first period where the Leafs, I think we've criticized them a lot in the past for slow starts. And here you have a Penguins team that played Boston yesterday that it just sucks. Like, they're just a bad hockey team, right? Can't zero defensive zone coverage. Basically one workable line, thanks to the ageless Sidney Crosby, who was incredible again tonight, free Crosby. So I do give the Leafs credit for the way that they pounced in this hockey game. And I think that, yeah, they went to sleep. Shots started, I think, 13-2 or 13-3. I'm not exactly sure which of the totals it was at one point. And then the Penguins were able to sniff a bit of momentum there because the Leafs goaltender was awful. But I give them credit for the start, and I also give them credit for this, which is the second period, they go into it down a goal. And how many tests have the Leafs had this year where their goalie's been bad and they've been kind of having to play a game where they got to jump in and have some adversity? And I thought the way they responded in the second period was of decent quality. And obviously, I think that the good is Matthew Nyes scored, to me, what is the goal of the season. And I genuinely don't even think there's a debate as to what is number one. It's clearly that is it with a bullet.
Just the excitement factor, like just how cool it is. 3 seconds left in the period. You go down there, you Steph Curry it, shoot it while the light's going off. Doesn't even hit the back of the net before it was awesome.
It's the best goal of the year. There's no doubt. Like, buddy, to have that awareness of the clock, to bear down and intercept that play, right? Bit of a lazy play, but he doesn't quit on it. He jumps it and bears down, so takes the clock, gets just close enough, and then rips it top corner right as the buzzer sounds. Like, I'm going to remember this goal for the rest of my life.
That was very basketball-esque. Like, that's like a step inside the half. That's the equivalent of, like, Jokic stepping inside half, like, at the half, and just, like, a step inside the line and just hammering it home. It is. Like, it's deep. I mean, I think they might have had a book that High Glove may not be who's the goalie's name? Sorry. Tell me the goalie's name. Gun to your head.
No chance.
Okay. The goalie's name is Joel Blomqvist. Yeah. Joel Blomqvist. Blocker, maybe a bit of an issue for him. Guys seem to be taking advantage of it. A few of them entered the net on the blocker side tonight. But, that's a great play. Matthew Nyes, just, I thought he was particularly good. That's my biggest takeaway from this game today, is that outside of a really bad turnover in overtime that didn't amount to anything, and Austin Matthews losing a weak side battle to Ricard Raquel where he took the wrong route at the start of the period, I did think that Matthews looked a little bit more like himself tonight. I thought that line was spectacular. And listen, like, I know it's bad competition, but you still went up against Sid, and Sid was playing against him a lot of the night. You still had to go up against him, who was also really good tonight. I actually thought that, or today, but we're going tonight. I'm sticking with tonight. I thought that line really had a lot of pop, spent a lot of time in the offensive zone, and were pretty quality. So that was a positive for me. And Matthew shot one by a goalie for the first time for a really long time. And he shot it by him quite easily, in fact.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you were like, the book on Blomqvist is to shoot high blocker.
Shoot hard. Like, I think it's hard.
Yeah, shoot hard. Yeah. Shoot hard is the book on him. Like,
that's the most Dubas goalie I've ever seen in my life.
Right, I was going to say, like, wow, what a shocker that Kyle Dubas has yet to figure out one guy who can play a net for his hockey team. Like, it's just an impossible code for him. I got to say, quick, okay, so this one actually really didn't feel like Dubas stakes to me in this one. I did do a tweet, little snarky tweet, when they were up 2-0. A lot of people blame me for the curse. I accept. Nice. I accept. I as a believer in curses and as a, like, noted mush, I fully accept that I jinxed that very beginning of that hockey game. But I wasn't really thinking too much about Dubas. I think that it's been kind of gone. But my one little side tangent rant is this about Dubas. Is I'm starting to see the defenders come out with a lot of, like, oh, he had to build the team this way because ownership forced him to. I'm like, it's always ownership's fault with this guy, right? Like, hey, the reason why the Leafs didn't win is that Shanahan and ownership, they blocked the crazy good moves that he wanted to make. And now with Pittsburgh, the defenders still have this belief that despite the fact that he accepted a job where he's the president, right? Like, the whole key of this job.
And appointed himself the general manager.
General manager
as well.
Yeah, like, that he was going to be the guy, that there's still the defenders out there that are like, he had to do it. I'm like, okay, sure. I guess that ownership came down and had the scouting report on Ryan Graves and said, you got to make sure you give that guy a big contract extension. It's just
Ryan Graves. Holy. 1 point all year. It's amazing. Yeah. That's an amazing stat. He plays like 15 minutes a night. Yeah. He has one assist. How is that possible?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. That's a statistical anomaly. Like, you have to be, I just don't get how that happens. How do you not have four assists, five assists? One, and he got it recently. So can we go back to that Matthews goal? If we can play it. We've been hard on Benoit, but I thought Benoit Lafleur showed up at the best possible time for this play.
Yep.
If you're watching on YouTube, he makes a great play in the defensive zone, reads that he's got a beat on the backside defender, gets the puck in deep here, ends up bouncing around or whatever, and then Matthews shoots it in the net. But a really good defensive play by Benoit to kind of seal the boards at the other end. And then get on his horse and read it and get down there. I don't know if he ends up getting an assist on that. Probably bounced around too much, but it was a really good play by Benoit. I was impressed by that play. And we've been hard on him recently, so you got to point out when he was good. And I thought he had a few good moments tonight, and that was one of them.
Yeah, and to further extend that point, like, I'm glad that we extended the highlight pack all the way back to the hit, because, listen, it's not like Chris Tanev's a heavy hitter, right? He doesn't hit a lot of guys. But he is a physical force in front of the net, right? Like, he's great with boxing out, and you feel his physicality and his ability to win puck battles. And one of the things that I thought was so noticeable for the Leafs tonight in terms of the bad was just how few guys they had that were winning battles, how infrequently they were able to get on the boards and either get a puck out or win one. And, you know, I'm fine with you saying that the Matthews line was good tonight, because I do think that they were noticeable offensively, but it is crazy to see how infrequently Matthews feels like a bully in the battles in this like moving forward. And I think like that's the kind of thing that you point to when you say, where does he look different to me? That's kind of one of them. But Benoit stuck out for me in terms of a guy that actually puts a body on someone and it matters when he does it. And yeah, again, I don't think that his season has been good. I don't think that he should have a locked in spot on that blue line. But yeah, if you're asking me come playoff time,
yeah,
if you pair him with somebody like who is a little bit more competent than Timmins, and credit to Timmins who scored tonight, nice little goal, yeah, the second one of the game, you might feel a little bit more optimistic you can find something, and he does have a little bit more of that playoff flair. So yeah,
yeah,
give me a guy that can win a battle and hit somebody.
If I'm picking between Benoit, Myers, and Timmins, yeah, I think we all know what the easy answer is. I would preferably not be picking between those three guys, yeah, but if I had to, the choice is clear, and it feels, yeah, like they're going to have to. There's going to be one spot, even if they add somebody at the deadline, there's going to be, yeah, one spot where it's going to be those three guys kind of vying for it, and feels like he's going to be one of them. And you need guys in the playoffs and guys get injured, so all that. Yeah,
all
so
right, can I do the bad? Nice.
Yeah, you're dying to – what do you want to talk about?
Well, no, the ugly is further. That's the ugly. The bad is just the D-zone coverages, man. Like, and again, their ability to win battles in their own end. Like, how many times did the Pens get beautiful looks in this game? Like, yeah, I need Wohl to mix in a save here or there, but for the Penguins to be down 13-2 in shots and then come back and then end up leading them at the end of the first period, I think you mentioned it last game, or you had a tweet, like, if it's Chris Tanev, the league's MVP.
Yeah, Leafs MVP. And yeah,
I felt that again in this game where, like, they're not the same protecting a lead. This has been one of the best teams in hockey at protecting leads. They haven't blown one in a third period all season long until, I guess, this one technically counts, right? Like, they didn't lose the game, but is that the first time they've given up a lead in the third period all season long, or maybe the second time?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how they count that, but, like, I mean, if you win the game, you don't blow it. So
yeah,
I'm sure they've given up the lead multiple times in,
yeah,
the third
and one in overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, it doesn't feel the same, right? Like, the goaltender was shaky tonight. You didn't feel confident in him at all, but yeah, man, oh man, has the blue line just completely fallen apart. And I do think that the forwards own a lot of it. Like, I can't tell you how many times I counted guys like, man, Dewar, Domi, Robertson, Matthews, Nylander on like half-board battles where they just could not get a puck out in this hockey game. Matthews, again, you mentioned the play where he just at the very beginning of the first period or the third period goes to sleep on Raquel. But yeah, I just thought defensively tonight the Leafs were a bit of a train wreck.
Today. I think, well, if we're tonight, boys, we're going tonight. It's, yeah, yeah, people will be listening to it tonight. It'll feel like tonight. It's fine. We'll stick with tonight. I do think that there's a lot of teams around the NHL that if you subtracted their best defensemen, that, mm-hmm, they're going to look a little scrambly. And, sure, I think a lot of teams will have better options than the three guys at the bottom. Like, Philip Myers is playing a ton. Like, he's out there all the time. As you know, as an owner of a dilapidated house on Philip Myers Island, like, I know he's playing a lot of minutes. I don't know what he played tonight. Where did he end up? Probably in the 14-15 range.
That would be here. My guess. I don't have it in front of me.
He played 20 tonight. Yeah. He played 20 minutes, 5 minutes more than I thought he did. So it did feel like he was out there a lot. And you know, I think he ended up plus one tonight. So good for him. Somehow ended to be plus one in that game. But just there's just a lot of scrambliness where they just don't get the pucks out clean. And when it's Tanev on his correct side and he's out there for those 20 minutes, it just happens a lot more clean, a lot more times. And listen, like Riley and all of Ekman Larson, I didn't think were particularly good tonight. I think Ekman Larson ended up a dash two. I think it's just,
Riley was again a dash two.
I think, yeah, Riley ended up with an assist, but he went dash two again. I don't know. I think they're getting wins here and they're banking points, but when you get subpar goal, like if they got this level of goaltending a lot of these games this year, this is what they would look like, right? Like,
yeah,
that's kind of my thought.
I think that the Leafs have been much better defensively than what they've shown the last two games. And to your point about every team losing their top guy, it would look a little similar. Like, sure, I don't think everybody survives that and just is A-okay and it's not noticeable whatsoever. But with the Leafs, it's like you're literally bringing in an AHL caliber guy and all of a sudden McCabe has to go to his wrong side.
No, I know. That's my whole point here.
And Morgan Rielly.
They don't have good depth.
But it's like the other guys they have. It's like you remove McCabe from him having his greatest strength. You make Rielly have to play more. He's up to 22 minutes again tonight and was not good. Like, not a good Rielly game yet again. Like, you see him standing here on a bunch of these goals. It's just bad. And the rest of the team kind of follows suit. So, yeah, they need Chris Tanev back. He goes on IR today. Apparently, it still is not overly serious. It's crazy to me. I do think when I was like listening to Tree Living's comments where he's like, you need to make your team a little bit better. And he's obviously trying to undersell the deadline and tamper expectations. And what's he going to say, right? He's going to go out there and say, I have to take a big swing and then not deliver on that promise when it takes a second team for sure. But that is a spot where I really do feel like they just about bring in anybody. Like Luke Shen, they might be able to get for a fourth round pick, a third round pick, and just think about how different you're going to feel about this blue line if they're just able to add a quality depth right shot D guy who can clear the front of the net, win a battle, and get a puck out. Plain and simple.
Yep. That just, I mean, one guy changes the look of your decor so much.
Yep.
And if you have Tanev and somebody else right shot in there, but it just feels like there's a ton of competition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You see what Florida did today. Yesterday they get Seth Jones, who is going to be a stud for them. We all know it. Everybody listening to this who's a Leaf fan knows that's just going to work out. Anyone who's like, oh my God, they took on that albatross. It's like, yeah, the cap's going up. They're paying what, $7 million for him? He's obviously just going to work there. You know, and then they put Matthew Tkachuk on LTIR today. It's like, you know, Tre Living's had the reputation over his career of the tire kicker. Mm-hmm. So you got to do a little bit more. What's the further thing of tire like kicking? What's like the getting it done? Like putting the tire on, like taking the tire off, taking it for a test drive. You got to get in that car, kick the tire, open the door and get in the car and drive fast. That's what they need, because the other team, like Tampa's sneakily one of the best teams in the league. All of a sudden they win every night.
Tampa's lost, I think, one game in their last 10.
They are absolutely scary as hell all over again. You got to win this division. And you're going to need help to do it. So hopefully they get it.
I actually have a trade deadline question for you at the end of this show. So don't let me forget it. Try to remind me. Now the ugly. Joe Woll. This is, I think, the worst I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, he's like, bad. Very bad.
But my main takeaway from this one is, of course, you're playing the guy who gets the hottest like going into the postseason. But to me, the like real difference between him and Stolarz this season is not just like the greatness that Stolarz has played with and the size, the physicality, whatever, like the extra attitude that I think he brings the team. It's like Woll has more stinkers on his resume this year, more bad goals, more bad games than Stolarz does. Like I think about that Islanders game. I think about that Stars game. This one tonight, like, he's been awesome. I don't want to overplay this because no one should be panicking about Joe Woll. He's had a terrific season, awesome year. Yep. The Tree Living extension has looked great. Like, he's
obviously a good goalie.
There's like, I don't want anybody to take this and run with it like over the top saying like anything to the contrary. It's just that in a very tight competition, when you head into the postseason, I think the guy that you go with is the one that has less stinkers on the resume, and that's Anthony Stolarz.
Yeah, like I think he's just been way, way better. Like he's just, his numbers are way better.
Crazy because Woll's been amazing.
Woll's been good for sure. Yeah. Like he's been good. I think, what is he, 9-10 coming into this game? Like he's above league average. And he's got 2-6-3 coming into this game. Like he's above league average. He's been good. He's been healthy. Everything that you want from a goalie. But Stolarz has been legitimately a top five goalie in the league when he's played all year. So, I think Woll's good, but there's no question. And if playoffs start tomorrow, there's absolutely no question who's starting game one. Like there's just no question.
Yeah.
And who's getting the chance to run with it a bit. Like I would even go as far as to say game one, game two for Stolarz.
Yeah. No question. Yeah. To me. Yeah. If it was starting today, that would absolutely be the formula. I guess we can kind of go over some of these goals. Like the second one of the game, you saw him do it actually earlier where he played a puck wide and trapped it and killed the play. And I went, okay. And then a little bit later, he does the exact same thing where he's flying out of the net, like leaves the cage wide open and Pittsburgh tucks it. And it just felt like from that moment on, he could not track it. He couldn't find his confidence. He was making these mistakes. Like on one play that's not even a goal, he wraps his pad around the outside post and can't get across. And luckily, I can't remember, I think it was Malkin maybe, who stuffs the puck just wide, and OEL kind of bails him out and clears it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, it was Raquel, who was good tonight, by the way. Like, Raquel really popped. If you're a Penguins fan, you're hoping that the pro scouts in the building believe in this and that you can trade him. But yeah, I felt like he couldn't track it. He looked small. He looked real scrambly. He looked unathletic at times. Just off, man. Really off. And I got to imagine that he's totally fine. Like, I know he was sick, but I don't envision the Leafs putting him out there for the second period if they thought there was something wrong with him, right? Yeah. They would have just said, okay, you're getting the Sharks game maybe, or we're calling somebody up and we're putting Stolarz in. It's not like it's a game against the San Jose Sharks tomorrow, right? You're thinking you could put just about anybody in the net and you're supposed to win that hockey game. But yeah, I got to say that was slightly concerning effort from Wohl tonight after, a little bit of a time off.
Yeah, he was sluggish. I think if you're watch a lot of other hockey teams, I watch a lot of the Oilers, and he gave me some Stu Skinner vibes tonight.
Yeah, just good comparison.
Slow on reactions, just bad body language in there, shaky, felt like every puck going towards him had a chance to go in, and it's just not the feeling you're used to. With like this Crosby one is like, it's dreadful goal. Like, it just can't go in. And I understand Sid, he's a pass first guy, but you have to consider him shooting it from the circle. Like, you just like that is that's
yeah. That's last, like, I checked, Sid had a lot of goals too.
Yeah. Like, you have to consider it. I the best comparison I can make is, I play hockey on Thursday mornings with a bunch of old farts, and it's like, that's an old fart goal. Like, the goalie doesn't want to go down. And it's just like, he's like, got me. Like that, you could drive a Mack truck through that five hole. So tough night for Wohl. Slight edge to Stolarz. Impressed with him all year. And like you said, the stinker count is definitely way more in Wohl's favor. And yeah, that has to be that, or I guess not in his favor. Wohl has more stinkers, like you said. So that's how you kind of nudge Stolarz ahead to me. Mm-hmm.
Again, I am glad that the Leafs were able to pick up their goaltender and get the win. Like, it's overtime. Who cares?
How many times has the goalie picked them up? A million times.
That's what I was saying about why the second period was good to me, that they didn't. I think that the Leafs in years past, when they've had bad goaltending, like there's been Samsonov games, or there was, McElhinney moments, although he's actually pretty decent as a backup. But like, they had games where the backup wasn't playing well, and they kind of went to sleep, and that was not really the case in this one. So yeah, I give them credit for that, for picking him up. But God, he was dreadful. And yeah, I had the same thought on that goal, the Crosby one, where I was like, did he just like have narcolepsy? Like, he fell asleep for a second, he woke up and the puck was in the back, and he's like, oh, like he was starting to think about like a bad breakup or something. Like, I don't know.
Everybody was like, he was sick. Like, did he have the bubonic plague? Like, he couldn't have been that sick. He missed, he played. Crazy. Like, God. Yeah. Anyways.
I got rapid fire. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, we can go rapid fire.
Max Domi scored.
Yeah, good for him.
Yep. Four this year, I think. That's his fourth.
Yeah, because he went like 100 games without one, scored three games in a row, and then went 100 games without.
Yeah. Good for him. But then from that moment forward, like, and this is a nice play. Like, Robertson wins about, nice little play by McMahon to get to the front of the net, and Domi's in the right spot, clicks it home. Nice, nice, nice. But the two penalties he took afterwards there, like, probably going to get lost a little bit in all the chaos that happened in this game, all the moments, 10 goal game, but just horrific stuff. Like, the first penalty he takes is like a slash on, I think it's Malkin, who's going to his backhand, driving the net. Like, Wohl's got that 10 out of 10 and just unnecessary. And then he takes a penalty behind his team's, like the other team's net on a trip. And they both coincide as the Leafs are scrambling to kind of find their bearings again in the hockey game. Just killer stuff. Like, just, and then from that moment on, I just didn't really think he had much of an impact on the game.
He's had like a couple two penalty games in the last little while, hasn't he? Feel like it was like maybe two games in a row that he's had two penalties. I'm just quickly pulling up his game logs here, but yeah, I mean, the brain fart factor is there with him. No, it's not two games in a row. I don't know when the hell he had two penalties. I don't remember that, but oh no, he did against Boston. He had two penalties against Boston as well. Against
Boston.
Yeah. So that's two of the last three had four penalty minutes. So I don't know. I've said a lot about him. At least he's producing a bit with the brain fart factor. At least the pucks enter in the net a little bit when he's out there. It wasn't happening a lot. So That's a positive, I guess. But yeah, it's just the big worry, and you always look ahead to the playoffs, is a ridiculously bad penalty that he potentially takes in a big spot. That's what terrifies you, right? That's what terrifies you. Yeah, and you hope your big part of your hopes, he's getting ready to learn St. Louis Blues ease.
God, that'd be so great. That's all I can think about is like, is that he's got that 15 team no move clause.
Yeah.
And you just hope that that list's already done. And the like
guys
the
Flyers, like St. Louis, like every St. guy Louis. That's ever gone there loves St. Louis. Like all those guys stay there. There's a big community of guys that like Bozak and all those guys. Like, so maybe he thinks it's great there and that's not on his list. But you think if that trade's going to have to happen, there's going to be some money going out unless they do a double retention or add picks or whatever happens. But yeah. Mm. Anyways, not great moments from Domi, but I did think that line had a couple decent offensive moments. I like the play where they took advantage of a turnover and Bobby McMahon sauced it across to Domi. Domi shortened up to get the pass back, back across to Robertson, and he banged one off the post. I like that play. They're a good offensive line. They can play against bad
they get their
bottom
moments.
Six. Like, that's the thing. It's like, if you're playing against a bad bottom six team, they can have their moments. And there's a lot of bad bottom sixes in the NHL. Mm-hmm. So they can get you a point or two across some games here when you're playing against bad competition.
Rapid fire number two, Sidney Crosby is now at 64 points in 61 games. So he needs 16 points the rest of the season for his 20th point per season. Point per game season of his career, which would pass Gretzky. And I would like to say, as a proud Canadian, I think that's actually more important than the goal scoring record.
Of course. No, duh.
What would you rather have? 20 years of a point per game player or the greatest goal scorer who's ever lived?
Shovel a bunch into empty net all year to get past the record. What would you prefer?
23 minutes a night of just kind of standing around, cherry picking, waiting for...
Ovi slander. Did you see that in the first period? Rob Rossi tweeted this. Passing Bobby Hall in goals and tying Gordie Howe in assists is a nice period for Sidney Crosby.
Is a nice what?
A nice period for Sidney Crosby.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
He's the man. And he was so good tonight. He was so good tonight. Yeah. He was really, really good. I was impressed. But the thing is, it's like everyone's like, oh, he's got to get out of there. He's got to get out of there. How does he want to stay? He wants to stay.
No,
to stay.
We'll see in the offseason.
So lifetime bet, farmer's bet or $20 that he plays another game.
Here's the thing. I'll take this bet. I'll take this bet simply because I don't want to live in a world like I would rather spend $20 to live in a delusional world that Sidney Crosby eventually says, you know what? I want to get out of here. Like, how many games of Bloomquist can he have or Nedeljkovic before he's like, I'm a broken man. I need to go somewhere.
Did you see the clip of Nedeljkovic? Of course. MF in the bench. It's like Sid sitting there like, Jesus Christ, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Like, how much longer can you do it? So here's my Sid question for you, okay? Because I had a deadline question for you, and it's a Sid hypothetical. It's just a fun one. Okay. Just a little fun, cheeky ha-ha, you know? One of those. Uh-huh. So I tell you today, you find out that Sid he doesn't want to move in the middle of a season, right? He's like, nah, I'm not picking up and doing this in the middle of the year. I'm playing out the year with the Penguins. I'm not letting fans just all of a sudden see me traded at the deadline. But ultimately, I know what's best for the organization, and I'm going to part ways with this team. And one of the teams on my list that I will go to is the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not the team that he'll go to, right? He submits like six spots that he would go play, and he decides that one of the six spots that he would go is Toronto. Do you, if you're Brad Tree Living, keep the powder dry? No, keep the powder dry on this deadline for a chance to get in the Sid sweepstakes.
Well, he loves kicking tires. So if you got to kick the Sid tires, you know he's standing pat at this deadline to do that.
No, I'm not saying you. You get to be GM.
I wouldn't. Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
You do it?
I don't know. I think I would still trade at this deadline. I do.
Yeah.
Because I think Florida will be better next year. Tampa's not going anywhere. Other teams will rise up. Like this right now, I think, is maybe the least best chance to like actually make a potential run with the way the Eastern Conference looks like.
I agree.
And I don't want to like, selfishly, as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan who wants to see Sid wear the blue and white more than anything, then yes. But like, if I'm sitting here as a general manager, I would not hold tight at this deadline for that. I wouldn't.
Okay. I just want to let you know that next year when you're watching Scott Laughton and Rasmus Ristolainen play after a first round exit and Sidney Crosby gets dealt.
I just don't think West he wants
Park favorite. Like Wes Clark's just like, I love Easton Callum so much. Like there's anything I do to get my boy back. We should move him for him, Kyle. And when you're watching Rasmus playing his first playoff game in his career for the Toronto Maple Leafs, you could have
this
had
year? You think that's going to happen this year?
No, I don't know, man. I honestly, like, my read on this is that they're real horned up for Braden and Luke Shen, that's their dream scenario. But obviously you can't trade for Braden Shen unless there's retention. And if there's retention and you're calling Doug Armstrong and he's also like, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot right
now. They've been actually hot.
Yeah. So it's like they're going and looking at this and saying, so you want us to trade you our captain when we're 2 points out of a playoff spot and you want retention on this player. And basically I think St. Louis would have to eat $2 million of that deal for it to really make sense for Toronto.
Or you have to pay a pick to somebody else to retain it.
Yeah, something. And you're telling me that's going to like work out. I don't. It's just hard for me to see it. And yet it makes so much sense from like a Toronto positional fit need. I'm going to talk about some of the Shen numbers tomorrow on my show, because I think that basically the internet has seen maybe like a chart or two and that they made up their mind on Shen because of his age. And like, they think he's like some scrub, but it's just not true. It's like even in the comments right now, it's like, he's too old and slow. It's like, I'm watching him play like regularly right now. He is good. And also, like, again, listen to my podcast tomorrow, because the stats on his line this season are like actually out of this world. But anyways, like 5-on-5 monster. What?
I do, you know, my nightmare scenario and one that I think is really possible is that the Shen brothers reunite, but it's in the division.
Yeah. They go to Florida.
And it's Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just did that Tkachuk thing. They're already making moves around. And like, I just, you know, everybody wants it. The Leafs fans are some of the Leaf fans want it, as opposed to PS17 who says they're too slow. But I that's a bad feeling that I've had ever since I saw that Tkachuk thing earlier. I'm like, oh boy, don't like that.
I just don't know. It's just like, it just doesn't seem like there's much. As much as people think, like, you know, highly of their own prospects, the Leafs don't really have much in the cupboards of major notable interest. And with what the center market is, it's just tough, man. It's just tough. Yeah. Like, yeah, Luke's like, yeah, the chat leaning no on Braden Shen. Like, yeah, again, like, I'm not surprised. Like, if you make your own opinion, you probably like Braden Shen. If you let other people make it for you, you probably don't. Anyway.
I don't know. I don't have any connection to any Leafs prospects. So, if they trade prospects for Braden Shen, and people who are horned up about prospects will probably be upset about it. But like, I'm past the age of caring about like B level prospects. It's like,
I usually care about prospects.
I've been watching this team for 8 years and they've got past the first round once. And it's just like, you got to keep trying here. You got to keep trying.
Well, I just think this year in particular is like such an important year for them to try. There's so many mitigating factors where it's like, you got to go out and do it. Anyway, last thing for me was, beautiful breakout pass by McCabe in this game. Horrible line change to find Tavares, but like awesome. Just snapped it right down the middle of the ice, finds Tavares in stride. And then just a classic good old John Tavares has scored a million goals in his lifetime goal.
I got to tell you, we talk about our breakaway confidence.
Yeah.
Leafs have three guys on the team that one-on-one with a goalie. Well, I guess Matthew's pretty decent too. But doesn't feel like
he doesn't get
a lot of breakaways. And Tavares, eye to eye with any goalie on planet Earth, I like his chances. And he made another great play with a bouncing puck where he actually got it to the backhand and elevated it. And Bloomer there made a great save to one of his rare good saves of the night. But yeah, JT all alone is, you're writing home to mama most times about it. Like it's a done deal. And yeah, he snaps it low blocker. And he's got all, like, as the kids would say, he's got a lot in his bag. You know, he could go backhand top corner. He does that forehand move. He does the low blocker wrister. He's got a lot of different ways he can beat you. So that was a beautiful one. The one thing I did want to say, my quick rapid fire. I don't know if we have the OT winner or not, Luke, but moments before the overtime winner, Willie comes down the middle of the slot and passes out to the left wing for the first time ever. I don't know what he was thinking here. He fires his home. I got to tell you, this is a Connor McDavid stolen celly, my favorite celly in the game. When you score the overtime winner, you undo the chin strap. It's just he waited too long to do it. Connor, when he scores the overtime winner, it's like as he's skating around and that he does it like as a part of the thing. But I just think it's such a great disrespectful celebration to just undo your bucket. And yeah. I also like the one where the guy just skates off the ice. Those are my two favorite overtime winner celebrations. But this is a great one. Caulfield the other night tossing his stick into the crowd after embarrassing Celebrini was pretty sick really as well. Nice. But
that goal was also like 11 out of 10.
That's a goal of the year candidate. Unbelievable dangle. Yeah. Top corner on old Forgiev there. But yeah, nice goal for Willie. Wouldn't say he was particularly electric again tonight, but we don't need to do that every night. So good, nice overtime winner, and he got them 2 points. So good on him.
Yeah, he did. I got to tell you, though, like one of the goals does happen because he's flying the zone. And
he flies his own. That's why he doesn't play center, bud. It's like that's his. But I mean, he's also had 10 breakaway goals this year. So
yeah, I know.
Good at the bat, and they've been important goals. And that's it.
It's just it is.
He's a cheater. He's always been a cheater. He'll always be a cheater. You just got to live with the
breakaways. When he's getting breakaways, you're like, the cheating is worth it. And then when the cheating doesn't work for breakaways, it's like, what are you doing?
Why did you cheat?
He needs a breakaway goal. Soon.
He does. It's been a while. Yeah,
it's been a while since he's had one, and I've just been noticing the bad cheats more than the good cheats as of late. Yeah, that high blocker again for our boy Bloom.
Bloomer can't touch it. High block. High block is just his nightmare.
Nylander zips it over there. He's like, oh, yeah, that's it. He should have taken his mask off, too.
Do it. Love it.
All right. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus, at Sammy McKee. Again, it's a really loaded week. There's a bunch of Leafs games. And there is ton of trade deadline coverage. Again,
only
I think
only two games. They play on Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, don't they? Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. So they play Sharkies tomorrow, which will be fun to watch our boy Celebrini. And then Wednesday night in Vegas, late one. So I think Ailish is hopping on that one with me because you're going to be tucked into bed with your little nightcap on because you got to get up early for your show. So me and Ailish are doing Wednesday. So and then Saturday, I think it's in LA. So. Yeah. The Leafs will on Saturday night with all their shiny new additions, we will have a Leafs talk about with Braden Schenn scoring his first as a Leaf that night, right? Right?
Yeah. Can't wait. Cannot wait.
And not Luke Kunin turning one over to the Kings to beat the Leafs.
I was going to say it's going to be Luke Kunin and Brandon Carlo.
I do like Carlo.
Yeah.
Carlo's a rangy good defense. Yeah, I know, but the Bruins stink. So, anyways, all good?
Yeah, all good. As long as they have a good deadline. I need a good deadline. I think the fan base needs a good deadline.
For sure.
Said before, this tree, don't let this be a repeat of last year. Last year was fine. First year on the job, not the same.
I really liked Edmondson last year.
Yeah, so did I. Grabbed Edmondson for a third. Yeah. Grabbed Dewar for, I think, a fifth. Fine deadline, but I think it needs to be a little more splashy this year. They gotta move some chips in the middle. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
I think there's a reason the dudes didn't mention Dewar tonight. Let's go home.
It was not a Dewar game. Yeah. It was truly not. Hit the thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe, review, do those things. Follow our other shows, the JD Bunkus Podcast, Real Kipper and Born. We'll see you tomorrow.